Kay Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The jury in Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial gets back to work a day after telling the judge they'd reached a partial verdict but couldn't agree on the final count of racketeering. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
The judge is saying, keep going, keep deliberating. The prosecution and the defense think that that is a good idea. So that's what's going
to
happen.
Lawmakers in the House racing back to Washington to take up the president's so-called big, beautiful spending bill after it squeaked through the Senate. But bad weather has canceled thousands of flights. Wisconsin Democrat Mark Pocan.
I'm driving to Chicago, hoping to get one of the first flights, 6 a.m. Going to get back, though, to vote no for sure.
An agreement between an Ivy League university and the Trump administration over trans swimmer Leah Thomas. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Penn has agreed to restore all individual Division I swimming records and titles to female athletes who lost to Thomas and send them a personalized apology letter.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sure, Dana Carvey is a great impressionist, but still prefers to be tactful, especially when impersonating President Joe Biden like he did during the SNL 50th anniversary broadcast. The creator of The Church Lady said to his co-host on the Fly on the Wall podcast, David Spade, that he took that approach because the former president was mentally compromised. Spade countered, saying Biden is fair game because he's in the public eye, putting himself on the total opposite end of the spectrum. That's why they make a great podcast hosting team. If you're looking for something binge-worthy, here's one of Pete's picks. Check out Department Q on Netflix. Writer, director, executive producer Scott Frank has come a long way as a writer since his first credit, which was an episode of The Wonder Years. Frank has written such films as Get Shorty, Minority Report, and the show The Queen's Gambit. Department Q follows Carl, a detective who becomes obsessed with a cold case following his own near-death experience. It's just addicting enough, so check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The crew in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today after being rained out last night in Queens. The Brewers coming off a 4-3 loss in extra innings to the last place Rockies on Sunday. Pat Murphy.
You know, things have been going our way a bunch. We haven't had games like this in a while, so it's a good reminder that you can lose these games.
Basketball, the number one topic in NBA free agency. So far, the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard.
Over $110 million over the next couple of years. That means the Bucks are going to have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. That is a lot of dead money, but that shows these level of pressure that this Milwaukee Bucks team is under to go out and get a guy, Miles Turner, who can help them right now. Now, the Bucks still have a lot of things to sort out. They still need point guard help. Kevin Porter Jr. is not really an ideal long-term option as a starting point guard. You'd like to get another fix there, but this does give the Bucks some additional flexibility to go out and make more moves to add to this roster because they did lop off a whole bunch of money from their books.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud on Republicans supporting lead waterline removal in Superior if they can stick taxpayers with most of the bill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for our special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes this is the best part of the day. Welcome to a Wednesday, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. One of my farm broadcast buddies used to say, the shank of the day, the early morning hours. When weather generally is calm, temperatures are a little cooler, and you can get your bearings for what you've got to get done the rest of the day. Weather-wise, today we start to see a little bit of a changing dynamic as far as weather is concerned. Showers and thunderstorms are going to start developing again later this afternoon into the overnight hours. Just a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms, but keep an eye on the rainfall reports. That's going to be critical information because, as we've seen this week, sometimes these showers pop up suddenly, can leave quite a little cloudburst, and other folks are going without any moisture. So today we're looking for a mostly sunny day, 87 our expected high, with winds out of the west about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Then that rain possibility starts moving in right around the drive time this afternoon into the overnight hours. For Thursday, we've got another slight chance of rain in the morning, maybe a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Tomorrow's highs around 87. And for Independence Day, sunny and hot, as we've come to expect. 90 are expected high. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, is still on vacation, but I'll do my best to try to let you know what's coming your way weather-wise as the morning unfolds. You know, this weather has turned out to be kind of a perfect storm for a lot of diseases that want to come home and roost in our Wisconsin corn and soybean fields. I just found out about it yesterday with Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist. He's going to give us a breakdown because, remember, if it is a fertile ground for disease in corn and soybeans, that could also impact your garden. So we're going to talk more about that with Damon. And catching up with our friends from the Steffes Group to find out how summertime auctions are moving along. That's all on the way. Up next, Stephanie Hoff joining us with an interesting story about agriculture engineering students on campus and a national competition building their own tractor and competing. She's got that story next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Bossy. She made a good run at the International Quarter Scale Student Design Competition a few weeks ago. Her builders, the UW-Madison Badger Pulling Team. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. I got to see Bossy firsthand and take it for a spin. Caden Peterson-Rucker helped me figure out the controls. Caden graduated from the Biological Systems Engineering track at UW-Madison, and he's since started a master's program. He's been a part of the Badger Tractor Puller team for the past 4 years, serving as captain for a few of those. He tells me how they designed this award-winning project.
This team has been going on since 1998, I believe, and every year we compete in a national competition in Peoria, Illinois. We compete against a bunch of other schools, and the whole point is to just design, test, and build the best pulling tractor that we can.
Is this for credit, or is this totally like extracurricular?
Unfortunately, there's no credit involved with this. Everything that we do is just because we enjoy doing it, and you do learn a lot and gain a lot of engineering skills that you might not get in the classroom.
Yeah, you do it for the experience. But tell me about the hours that you guys put in together.
So this year we have a little smaller crew. We put in countless hours. It's hard to put a number on it, but I would guess each guy probably put in well over 100 hours a week. It's just, I guess, depending on when it is. During crunch time, there are a lot of nights that we've been at the shop well past midnight. It's go time, and we've got to get it done by the deadline. So probably a good 1,000 hours total on this thing.
So what is the timeline? When do you start building it, and then when is the competition?
So we pretty well start design in July. We start designing it over the summer a little bit, and then all of the fall semester we work on our computers, getting it modeled up, doing some online simulations, and creating all of our parts. And then over Christmas break and start of spring semester is when we kind of wrap that up and start fabrication. And I would say the build process takes place typically between, you know, the middle of March, kind of that spring break time. We come back from spring break and we hit it hard, and we build the whole thing pretty much up until mid-May.
So when you build something from scratch, where do you start?
Luckily, we've got, you know, experience from years previous, so the upperclassmen and veteran people kind of know typically what we do, and they teach the younger kids, but we make it a lot out of sheet metal, so that's really easy. We can cut it here, we can bend it ourselves and weld it, and then there is some raw stock that we do get, like our axles. We outsource that to places like in Milwaukee, but a lot of it's done in-house, and we just get the raw materials in. Because we've designed it online, we know exactly how to cut it and how to bend it, and it all comes together relatively well. And if it doesn't, it's pretty easy to start over and make a new piece.
Do any of the parts have a unique story?
There are a few things in here. We like to add the Motion W where we can. On the back, we added a nice little nameplate. This year, we titled our tractor Bossy. It's purple and blue and draws a lot of attention. And we kind of, there's some late nights in the shop, we listen to a lot of music. A song came on that was called Bossy that kind of got our attention, and we liked it, so it stuck around, and pretty soon we're like, well, this thing, the way it looks is kind of bossy, it's going to grab people's attention. So that was a pretty custom piece that we thought was a nice finishing touch.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, the design does get a lot of attention. It's not green, it's not orange, it's not red, it's not blue, it's purple. Tell me the story on the color.
So that was kind of another inside joke. We have a guy on the team, he's got a 1980s motorcycle that he just bought, and he's going on and on about how great the color scheme was and how cool it looks. And so we're looking at pictures, and I was bored one night, so I thought how funny it would be if I just changed the model colors to purple and blue, and everyone came back the next day and looked at it and kind of startled them. And so kind of got a chuckle out of that, and we looked at it and left it for a few weeks, and pretty soon we're like, well, you know, this kind of does look pretty good. Maybe we could do this. We're like, sure, why not? It's kind of fun. Stands out. Definitely something unique that we could do.
I think you're bringing those retro colors back in style, because when you had that high school group in here yesterday, they were commenting how much they liked it.
Yeah, we had some matching jumpsuits that we wore at competition. We got a lot of compliments on that. It was very fun.
That's awesome. So give us a sense of your team. Like, how many guys are on the team, or girls? And are you all kind of in the same field or want to go in the same field?
No, I guess not everyone is the same major. The department, the Biological Systems Engineering Department, kind of houses the competition. It's through the American Society of Agricultural and Biological Systems Engineers. It makes sense that the BSC program kind of does that. But we've got agronomy majors, electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, aerospace engineers on the team. Pretty much anyone that's looking to get engineering experience and maybe has a passion for tractors or agriculture, as well as just wanting that hands-on experience. Our team consists of about 9 people, I think, in that ballpark. We meet twice a week, so, you know, some people can't make it every night, so I'd say on average we've got about 5 people here at a meeting. We took 6 people to competition in the past. I mean, some teams like South Dakota State, I think they've got 25 people. So that's the goal, is to get the numbers up a little bit. At the same time, it's kind of nice. You get to know the whole aspect of the whole tractor because there are only a few of you working on it.
Well, and you also get to know maybe how to fundraise, I should say. I mean, you guys do rely on fundraising and in-kind donations. Can you tell me about that process?
I mean, it is a complete tractor, so it takes a lot to build it. We reach out to a lot of sponsors in the local area, surrounding states. We're just asking for either, you know, donations of equipment. Like, we got our seat donated to us. We got a hydraulic oil cooler donated to us. We also got like a hydraulic reservoir donated. But along with that, you know, just monetary donations go a long way, allowing us to pay for our hotel rooms there, buy any of the other materials that we need, as well as like team apparel and other things that we'd need.
Let's talk about the competition now. Can you walk us through what you're scored on, what you had to do while you were there?
Yeah, there are a lot of facets that go into the judging of this, both performance events as well as kind of opinion-based things. So it starts with a defensive design that's done in December, and that is just an interview process where you kind of talk through what you've designed so far, justifying why you did it the way you did, and then there's a written report and a cost report that are due in April. So you write down kind of everything you've done into a written report and you get judged on that. There's also an oral presentation at the competition in front of the judges, kind of as if you were marketing it to your upper management, kind of why it would be a good investment for them. And then there are the performance events. So one of them is the maneuverability contest where you go through a maze. You want to knock over certain posts without running into the other ones. There's a durability event where you pull a cart through a track that's meant to just kind of beat your tractor up as much as it can, test it, put it through the ringer. And then the pulls, which are the most points. So there are three pulls. It's, you know, typical tractor pull that you'd see at the county fair just on a quarter scale level. And then the last thing that you're judged on is design judging, where you have industry professionals come around your tractor and ask you questions about the safety features of it, the manufacturability, the ergonomics, a few other things, and they score you on how well you designed it around those features. This year we were able to win the maneuverability event, which was something we've been trying to do for a while, as well as we won the safety feature of the design judging, and we won the best appearance tractor for the second year in a row, which was pretty rewarding.
That's incredible. Well, and in total, you came home with sixth place out of how many?
23 teams were there this year. So we got sixth place, which is what we got last year. We're pretty happy with it, but, you know, there's always that competitive drive to, you know, try and get that first place trophy.
Well, that's pretty stinking cool, I'd say. And, you know, for a little tractor, how much does this thing pull?
So they have it all censored up, and they say that, according to their data, it pulls about 2,400 pounds of force. It's got a 32-horsepower engine on it, and we try and get every ounce of that horsepower to the ground.
Well, I think we're all parked illegally here at the Biological Systems Engineering Department. You could probably tow us all out.
Yeah, we've pulled quite a bit of heavy stuff around at this thing. That tractor over there, we've pulled that doing our testing with it. So.
And what next for you? I know you said you're in your master's program, but how are you using these skills in the future?
It's hard to say where the future is going for me. I've got two more years of my master's, but I'll say at least what I've experienced and most of the people on the team have experienced. This is a great way to get internships and cooperative experiences. They like to hire out people with the tractor team under their belt, and it really gives you a great experience, you know, working in that SOLIDWORKS and software modeling, getting your hands in the shop, not just seeing what it looks like on the computer, but seeing what it takes to build it yourself. Hopefully, you know, I get a job working for one of the big companies here coming up. Yeah, I'd be happy with just about anything.
Caden Peterson-Rucker joining us. He was one of the senior team members on the Badger polling team. They created a high-scoring quarter-scale tractor for the Agricultural and Biological Engineers International Student Design Competition, and they brought home sixth place. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin state budget, good, bad, what's going on with that? Dan Schaefer will join us to talk about that. Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin farmers in hour number 2, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
The fact that maybe there's going to be some showers or thunderstorms that pop up, but the good news is it doesn't look like they should be severe. Ag weather on a Wednesday morning brought to you courtesy of our friends at Compure Financial. Compure Financial is your financial partner, whether it's agriculture or just a place out in the country. They've got the resources and staff available to help you out. You can get your search started at Compure.com. So let's take a little closer look at what we can expect for today. Bottom line is it's going to stay hot today, tomorrow, right on through the 4th of July weekend. Temperatures are not going to be a problem. What we are going to have to keep an eye on are some showers that seem to be wanting to move into Wisconsin by as soon as this afternoon. Nothing severe, maybe a slight chance of a thunderstorm developing later this afternoon and overnight. But like I said, it's going to be a hit or miss situation. So you rainfall reporters are going to be incredibly important to us. Daytime highs today look like they're going to be right around 86 degrees. Then by the time we get into Thursday, aside from the heat, the chance of rain in that forecast does get a little bit stronger. Take a closer look at that outlook next. Family reunions, anniversaries, neighborhood get-togethers, whatever event you're planning, incorporate a little Bavaria sausage flavor in your event. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I'll tell you what, Bavaria sausage can give you just what you're looking for when it comes to impressing your guests with fantastic flavor and old world recipes. And things are always changing at Bavaria Sausage, so you want to check back often. Their website's fantastic, BavariaSausage.com, making it easy for you to get the products you're looking for. Or better yet, visit face-to-face in the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. No matter what your celebration is, Scott and the crew will work towards making sure it's a success. Looking for something special or maybe bigger volumes? That's where you want to contact Scott and Lisa and let them know what you're looking for. BavariaSausage.com. You stop by, they'll make the difference. Alrighty, your Compure Financial Ag Weather update for a Wednesday. Like I said, the heat is going to stay consistent. Looks like daytime highs today, probably anywhere from around 88 to 89 degrees in southeast Wisconsin, 87 in Wisconsin Dells, 85 expected up towards the Wausau area with 87 the expected high in Green Bay. Again, like we said, does look like we could see a slight chance of thunderstorms developing later this afternoon into the overnight hours. Highs today around 86 as a whole. Overnight lows down to 64. Then Thursday, we've got a chance of some thunderstorms developing through the course of the day, probably into the afternoon, and most definitely a chance of showers on Thursday night. Independence Day Friday is going to be hot, and with that heat comes an increased chance of thunderstorms, but they're going to be pop-up in nature. Daytime highs on the 4th of July expected to be around 90 degrees. Overnight lows on Friday evening just down to 71, so still pretty uncomfortable for both man and beast. And for Saturday, looking at another slight chance of thunderstorms with temperatures again returning to the upper 80s. We'll just have to kind of rely on you rainfall reporters to let us know what you see in the rain gauge. Remember, rainfall reporting or weather observations always welcome. Our toll-free number to talk or text, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. And remember, that information comes to us real time. So if you've got something happening in your area, we'll be sure to know about it. 877-301-FARM. On the way, this weather is perfect for fungus, whether it's in a field or in your garden. We're going to find out about it.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matinair on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy?
One of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers, and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that, because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles, you know, that takes a lot of that, those dollars away, directly away from the farmers, because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmers.
Catch Matinair on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. The jury in Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial gets back to work a day after telling the judge they'd reached a partial verdict but couldn't agree on the final count of racketeering. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
The judge is saying, keep going, keep deliberating. The prosecution and the defense
think that that is a good idea. So that's what's going
to
happen.
Lawmakers in the House racing back to Washington to take up the president's so-called big, beautiful spending bill after it squeaked through the Senate. But bad weather has canceled thousands of flights. Wisconsin Democrat Mark Pocad.
I'm driving to Chicago, hoping to get one of the first flights, 6 a.m. Going to get back, though, to vote no for sure.
An agreement between an Ivy League university and the Trump administration over trans swimmer Leah Thomas. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Penn has agreed to restore all individual Division I swimming records and titles to female athletes who lost to Thomas and send them a personalized apology letter.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The crew in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today after being rained out last night in Queens. The Brewers coming off a 4-3 loss in extra innings to the last place Rockies on Sunday. Pat Murphy.
You know, things have been going our way a bunch. We haven't had games like this in a while, so it's a good reminder that you can lose these games.
Basketball, the number one topic in NBA free agency. So far, the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard.
Over $110 million over the next couple of years. That means the Bucks are going to have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. That is a lot of dead money, but that shows these level of pressure that this Milwaukee Bucks team is under to go out and get a guy in Miles Turner who can help them right now. Now, the Bucks still have a lot of things to sort out. They still need point guard help. Kevin Porter Jr. is not really an ideal long-term option as a starting point guard. You'd like to get another fix there, but this does give the Bucks some additional flexibility to go out and make more moves to add to this roster because they did lop off a whole bunch of money from their books.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison-based filmmaker Wendy Schneider, who will discuss her screening of the Smart Studio story at the Atwood Music Hall. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. Here's a portion of a conversation recently had on the John and Gordy Show with writer Mike McCabe about the history of milk strikes in Wisconsin.
You know, a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Something that is on very many people's radar, but...
Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, and the area I'm talking about where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah.
And in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And farmers had had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at, farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign. And eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks, and they were blocking shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress.
Find out more about the John and Gordy Show and our entire lineup at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Well, aside from this hot, sticky weather potentially ruining your 4th of July plans, it is turning into a festering challenge for Wisconsin farmers and their fields. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. I didn't realize it was already such a big deal until I talked with Dr. Damon Smith, our University Extension plant pathologist, yesterday. He's getting alerts from some of his peers around the upper Midwest on tar spot, which is a leaf disease that can literally attack our cornfields this early in July. You're going to hear his conversation with me on that coming up a little bit later this morning. So today is the second day of July. What can I tell you? Well, I'll tell you what. Big day as far as aviation. On this day, 1900, the Zeppelin took off for the very first time, a rigid aircraft named after Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin, the inventor, started the launch on this day back in 1900. On this day, 1937, American aviator Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, are heard from for the very last time before they disappeared. So many mysteries still surround that one. Happened on this day back in 1937. On this day, 2002, American businessman Steve Fossett completed the first solo around-the-world balloon flight. So aviation, aeronautics, obviously paying attention to this date. Wisconsin should pay attention as well. Happy anniversary to Milwaukee's Oriental Theater. It opened on this day in 1927. And happy birthday to actor, comedian, writer Larry David. He is 78. And Lindsay Lohan, always in the headlines, isn't she? That young woman just 39 years old. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com. That's the great website that can give you guidance if you're looking for specific auctions or are kind of curious about trends. It'll also give you an idea on some of the services that the Steffes Group can provide you. You're ready to go, or you've got more questions and want to talk to a person? They're happy to do that too. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group joining us live. And let's talk just a little bit about the items that are catching attention. Summer months, Ashley, we're not extremely busy in the fields all the time. What seems to be catching attention? What do you think people want to pay attention to at that great website?
Yeah, so in the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing strong results on the farm retirement side of things. Of course, spring season, we're right in season now, so we've seen some really good prices on self-propelled sprayers. Monday, we just had a big dealer auction out in Williston, North Dakota. Take a look at that. There were 7 John Deere RX quad tracks on there. So high horsepower, low hours, still running $500,000 for some of them tractors.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and you know, like we said, this is an excellent spot, the StephisGroup.com website, not only for individual farming operations to look, but you know, you might be a custom operator. You might even be a cooperative, somebody that's looking to shore up some of the services you're providing. Excellent place to take a look. I saw also, speaking of specialty services, you've got a silage equipment auction coming up.
Yeah, we do, and actually it's in North Dakota, but some of those high-dollar Myers semi-trailers for running silage around, they're 36-footers, got the right tires on them. Two of them have road tires. The other one does have the off-road tires on it, and then some semis to go with it. So don't see those come up for auctions, and I know when you're going to buy one of those brand new, they are expensive.
Well, and we've got a whole lot of active ears out there that are into silage making in a hurry, and those are the kinds of rigs that really help to get them out. You guys just don't stay in your lane, though, when it comes to some of these auctions. I also noticed if I want to get my boat on, if I want to be out there in the water, you've got an interesting sale that's also coming up serving that audience.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Right here in central Minnesota, Family Marine, they've been doing an auction the last couple of years with us, and that just kind of shows, you know, what the economy is doing and things like that. There's been a slew of dealers that have been, and this one in particular, lots of pontoons that were not sold the years before, and then there's side-by-sides and things like that, golf carts. You know, so there's plenty of that dealer inventory that needs to get sold.
And we always like to remind people, too, Ashley, that they don't have to physically make it to central Minnesota to be a part of this auction. That's the beauty of StephisGroup.com.
Yeah, and especially when you're selling something brand new and the pictures tell the story there. You don't have to go look and wonder if it runs or doesn't run. It's brand new.
Right. Yeah, like we said, folks, if you're looking at any of those things, from the specialized silage equipment right on through to that marine inventory reduction, the StephisGroup.com website can help you out there. And like Ashley said, it's also a litmus paper of what's going on within the economy, what's selling, what prices they're bringing. And all that information is transparent at StephisGroup.com. Check it out. Or if you want to talk to somebody and get more details, they're happy to visit 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Stuffish Group.
We're on mutual assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
The discussion will heat up again today in Washington, D.C. over the big, beautiful bill. And although it is not a farm bill, it does contain elements that agriculture is watching. Here are some of the bullet points that the Midwest Farm Report team is following. The big, beautiful bill would update reference prices that farms rely on. It would also enhance crop insurance coverage, help livestock producers. It does have money included to support export programs. There would be an increase of estate tax exemptions, which is big for family farms. And it also has a 45Z clean fuels credit. Now, these are some of the items in the big, beautiful bill we're keeping an eye on in Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, here at home, the state budget has been largely completed. One of the items that's still uncertain, though, what's going to happen to federal funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. In Wisconsin, more than 705,000 people get SNAP benefits from the federal government in calendar year, and a lot of those are kids. The River Food Pantry in South Central Wisconsin serves up to 4,000 people a week in Dane County. Their director of operations, Helen Osborne Sonatas, says they're looking to the government to keep that support service in place.
Other states have money automatically written into their budget to be part of the emergency food system. Wisconsin doesn't. And so we've asked our legislators to include that in our next budget, which they're working on right now. Another piece that has our attention is the potential cuts to SNAP. SNAP, food share, food stamps, different programs all under the same umbrella. And that could have a huge impact on the whole country. You know, cuts to SNAP means families and individuals have less food to eat, which means that they're going to be relying on food pantries more. And we need support and able to help meet that demand.
Helen Osborne Sonatas, Director of Operations for River Food Pantry, with one example of why those supplemental nutrition assistance program fees from the federal government are so critical. It's not falling on deaf ears. Wisconsin Senator Brad Paff paying attention as well. He and Representative Jenna Jacobson have authored a bill called the Agricultural Purchase Program that would establish $30 million within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to try to assist food pantries and other nonprofit community groups.
It's estimated 90,000 Wisconsinites could be impacted by changes in the Wisconsin Food Shares Program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The piece of legislation that I have introduced is where we would have Wisconsin-grown or processed food products would then be directly purchased by nonprofit churches or local food banks, food assistance programs. It is a way that I believe Wisconsin, our state, needs to do more. I think that this is a very modest proposal.
That's Wisconsin Senator Brad Paff. So the Midwest Farm Report team is continuing coverage on this. Follow us, MidwestFarmReport.com, for the latest. All right, just a quick look at the markets for the latest on what's happening in grain trade. This morning, December corn currently trading 2 cents lower at 420. November soybeans are up 4 at 1031. July wheat closed 8.5 cents higher at 537 a bushel. The August class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 2 cents right now at 1841 a hundredweight. Both the barrel, block, and AA butter prices were up yesterday in Chicago. Whew! Got to take a breath, but coming up next, this weather has turned into the perfect petri dish for fungus that could impact farm fields and your garden.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court decided in Buckley versus Valeo and Citizens United that unlimited money spent for campaigns equaled free speech and enabled the rise of super PACs, but it kept limits on certain types of spending by political parties. A case by Republicans heard in the High Court this fall tests those limits. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate. Such spending might include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. In 2025, those Federal Election Commission limits were up to $127,000 for a U.S. House candidate and up to $4 million for a U.S. Senate candidate, calculated by voting age population. The GOP has long chafed at those limits, set in 1971's Federal Election Campaign Act. Citizens United and subsequent cases drove corporations and special interest donors to contribute their billions to super PACs, with which candidates theoretically can't coordinate. The Roberts Court has a track record of money as free speech decisions. Whether this merely shifts billions from super PACs to the national parties or opens up yet another floodgate of special interest influence is yet to be seen. The case will be heard next term. We have more details on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee.
540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen will join us to discuss breaking news as it continues on the state budget and in Washington. Plus, what's worse, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Bill, that could mean something to Wisconsin agriculture, and the team is going to be on top of it. If you don't want to miss a thing and you want to see some of our work, the best way to do that is sign up for our daily e-newsletter, and the best way to do that is go to MidwestFarmReport.com. Now, please be aware, if you've got a pop-up blocker, you might have some challenges there. MidwestFarmReport.com. You just give us our email, and you're set to go with our daily e-newsletter. If that does not happen on your screen, you can use our talk text line and let us know you'd like to get signed up. And the talk text line is open to anybody, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Well, as I said, this weather is turning out to be the perfect setup for disease in our cornfields, in our soybean fields, in our wheat fields, and potentially in your backyard. Grass issues, as well as those things that want to attack your garden. Talked about it yesterday with Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist, who's keeping an eye on not only this weather pattern, but also reports from around the upper Midwest on things like tar spot. It's the second day of July. We never see tar spot this early, but this year we are. And of course, that means white mold won't soon be far behind. Smith explains why this weather is creating the perfect petri dish for fungus.
Yeah, we've learned a lot over the last 5 years or so, Pam, on, you know, what weather really drives, you know, diseases like tar spot and white mold. And this year's, of course, different than the last couple of years where, you know, we've been reasonably hot and somewhat dry over the last couple of seasons. This season's different. We're getting timely rains and kind of moderate temperatures, which is good, you know, good for the crop. The crop's starting to catch up now with the heat units, but the downside is it's much more favorable for disease this year. So we're kind of watching what's going on with both tar spot in corn and white mold in soybeans right now to see, you know, how is this going to shake out over the next couple of weeks? Because it's really going to be the time where farmers need to really start making some in-season decisions.
You know, and I feel like I've been scouting my fields pretty good, Damon. Explain how quickly this stuff can manifest itself.
Yeah, well, so there's five states right now reporting tar spot, which is probably, I'd have to go back and look over the last decade or so, but that might be the earliest we've had five states reporting tar spot. So just to sort of give you, you know, timeliness piece here, the weather just really has lined up. That disease triangle's lined up and things are moving along. Now, I don't think folks need to panic right now, especially in Wisconsin. But what that does mean is we need to get out and scout, right? So it's really the warning to get out in the field, take a look at the crop, especially fields where we've got corn on corn, no-till, and we're looking at history of tar spot. You know, those are the fields that you want to get out, take a look at, see if you can find tar spot, use the lower leaves as an indicator. I don't think you need to pull the trigger on a fungicide right now, but that, you know, being prepared and knowing what's there, that will help that decision making process when once we get into the tassel to kind of early milk growth stages in corn. Soybeans, we're kind of getting to that point where, you know, we know those little mushrooms are going to be out. I don't suggest folks necessarily go out and you know, scout for the little mushrooms, but as the rows are closing and we get into that kind of full bloom period, that's the time where folks really need to start thinking about that fungicide application decision, especially on acres that they know they have a history of white mold. We got a shorter soybean rotation in there. You know, this is really about being prepared at this point. My gut's telling me and our research is telling us that, you know, it's going to be favorable this year for both of these diseases. And so folks just need to really be on it and be prepared, you know, making their preparations at this point.
You know, Damien, for soybeans, you've got a state with two crops here. Northern Wisconsin did not pick up the degree growing units. Those soybeans are delayed as far as development. Does that mean that the spores are going to be delayed? Or give me a little, break that down for me.
It does, and to add insult to injury, you know, not only will the fungus sort of align itself with when the bloom period happens, but unfortunately, if we remain kind of on the cooler side, especially in that northern tier, then the bloom period gets extended out, and that's kind of a double whammy when it comes to white mold, because the longer that bloom time is, the longer the window of opportunity for the fungus, right? And so, you know, if you're pushing maturity group just a little bit and you got these cooler temps, that then bloom just continues to go on, and, you know, the opportunities are there for the fungus. So you really do need to be ahead of it, kind of be prepared, know what your fungicide program is going to be, and really try to, you know, watch what's going on with the weather and time those applications correctly.
All right. Thanks, Damon. Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist. Time to start scouting those fields, as he said, for tar spot in corn, potential for white mold coming in our soybeans, and more importantly, get proactive on finding out what's available in your area as far as treatments and what applicators are going to have time on their schedule to get you covered. Thanks, Damon. And as he said, if you want to find more details or get connected with Wisconsin's weather station map, you can find it all on the newly created BadgerCropNetwork.com website. BadgerCropNetwork.com. It'll help you stay connected on what's happening with weather patterns and the potential impact that could be felt by your farm fields. Stephanie Hoff taking over the big chair tomorrow morning. Enjoy your 4th of July.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
More on the revamping of the National Action Plan for Safeguarding Children in Agriculture today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. In yesterday's show, I explained that the National Children's Center for Rural Agricultural Health and Safety in Marshfield, Wisconsin, announced an update to its National Action Plan. Center Director Andrea Swenson says the plan is more than just do's and don'ts for kids working on the farm. For example,
in our public policy section, we have a goal to identify and promote public policy strategies that promote safeguards for all children and young workers in agriculture environments. We seek in the plan to meet that goal through a few different strategies. One is supporting federal, state, and local policies that improve working conditions for young agricultural workers, as well as strengthening social systems affecting families and workers in rural settings.
Swenson says the plan relies on the cooperation of way more than parents just telling kids to take it easy on the ATV.
There's so many individuals who work to safeguard youth and really work to promote agricultural as well as positive youth development. And this plan highlights that need to bring individuals, organizations, and agencies together to both provide support for each other, learn from each other, and engage in evidence-informed strategies across the different issues present in the plan.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud on Republicans supporting lead waterline removal in Superior if they can stick taxpayers with most of the bill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Jurors get back to work at Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York today after telling a judge they'd reached a partial verdict. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
The count they're stuck on, the RICO conspiracy charge, is the most complicated. It's the most layered. There are many elements to it.
It carries the possibility of life in prison. Republican leaders in the House hope to vote as soon as today on the president's so-called big, beautiful bill that squeaked through the Senate. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
These phonies on the Republican side of the aisle claim to be fiscally responsible. Get lost.
President Trump says Israel has agreed to a ceasefire in Gaza. The BBC's Wera Davis from Jerusalem.
For the Hamas Palestinian delegations, the key thing is going to be some sort of long-term ceasefire, long-term peace deal guaranteed by the Americans that goes beyond the 60-day ceasefire agreement.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin